Yeah, you're first, yeah.
I'm first.
Oh, Julie Olson, Clark County Council.
Hi, I'm Carrie Moore, Education Manager with EOCF. We serve preschoolers in Head Start ECAP programs.
Carrie, can you speak into the mic?
Sure.
Even I had a hard time.
Okay. Hi, I'm Carrie Moore, Education Manager with EOCF, where we serve children, preschool children and their families, low-income families.
Just a quick backtrack. My name is Monica Santos-Panaccio, and I lead communications for the Columbia River Economic Development Council.
I'm Marnie Allen, and I represent the Clark County districts. I'm employed by ESD 112, but I work for the districts.
Monty Anderson, I'm a Battleground School Board member.
Mark Ross, Superintendent Battleground.
John Steeves, Superintendent Evergreen.
Andre Yeager, Superintendent of Hopkinson.
And Michael Green, Superintendent of Woodland.
Tyson Vogler, Superintendent at Green Mountain.
Marion Young, and I'm the HR director.
Oh, wow. Got some power.
I'm sitting in for our superintendent, Mary Templeton, today. And we're really making it comfortable for you.
Christy Brown Silva, Neighborhood Association Council of Clark County Fair.
Sharon Cruz, Washington State, Vancouver.
Mitch Nichols, Community Development, Clark County.
I'm Lori Lebowski. I'm Clark County Community Planning.
Jean Lawson with JLA Public Involvement. I'm here facilitating again.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mark Bolt. So I'll turn it back to Jean. Take it away.
Okay. So when we left each other last, we had planned to meet in May, and we weren't able, apparently, to pull together a meeting in May. There were a lot of difficult to get everybody together. Same in August, so here we are now with basically the same agenda, but a twist. And I guess I sort of challenge these guys. I want to bring that question back about, does this format really make sense in terms of moving forward and what would be the purpose? So that will be one of the things we want to get out of the meeting today. But fundamentally, we want to, this group was formed with the charge of meeting for a year and presenting the outcomes to the council as a whole. And so that is really our primary goal for today, is to say, what are the messages you would like to take to the council? So that's our goal. So that's our goal. In doing that, we'll have Mitch Nichols is the new Marty Snell, and so Mitch is going to be meeting with us today, just to sort of introducing him and introducing what he's bringing in terms of his priorities and initiatives moving forward, and then we'll work on the development of the report to the full council, and then talk about how you as a group want to continue. And that will be the agenda for today. So any questions on any of that before we go farther? Okay, I know I'm kidding.
Okay.
Okay, and then, so the next, before we move on, you all got the summary of the meeting last time, and did you have any comments on that? All good?
Okay.
And you guys all read it verbatim, right? The entire thing. Michael's. We have one honest person here at any rate. Okay. Can we adopt it, or shall we just say it's adopted?
Is it okay? Adopted?
Is it okay?
We're okay.
All right.
So moving on?
That's that.
Thank you very much. So it is a pleasure to have Mitch. Most of you, I think this was why this group started a few years ago, was wonderful discussions about development and One thing I said to Mitch is, you know, we don't want to wait till we have a conversation over a ADA ramp to make things fun. So once that happens, it's a little late to have good conversations. So I'll turn it to Mitch. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you all for having me today. I really appreciate and I value your contributions individually and collectively to our community. From my perspective in community development, we look toward our school districts to provide us the great people that are going to fill these positions and our positions in the future. And so everything we can do to foster good development of the children's minds and learning is advantageous to all of us. That said, I want to focus a little bit on the two priorities that we have right now. First is the integration of an electronic permitting process that will include plans examination. For school districts, that's a big deal because most of you use professional designers and drafters who are already using systems like that in other jurisdictions and would be easily able to adapt to the system that we're working on. We hope to have that completed in early 2020. The current status of that is we have got our permits done. We've got our application and intake done. We're doing our inspection services in that system at this time. So that helps us respond to you as customers out in the field on your projects. The other thing I'm working on is revamping our permitting process so it is more user-friendly, and it's designed for the developer from the aspect of the planning stages of the project. So we get to you with critical information in helping you succeed with our permitting process early on. It helps you succeed with the scoping of your project, so you're not dealing with confronting design changes after the permit's been issued. You're able to bid that and manage that beforehand, so you can kind of align it with your project budgets. With school districts, you are, for us, a strategic objective for the school districts is the timing within which, in the windows of opportunity within which you have to work and complete your projects. All of you, you know, seriously, you'll plan it in August of this year, and you'll be ready to go on June 1st as soon as school lets out. And we want to make sure we resource that effort well, both in the planning stages and in the inspection service, and in response to any challenges you may be having on your sites. So from a priority perspective in aligning ourselves with your work and your projects and your budgets and everything else, early contact with us is the best possible thing we can do. Marty did a good job of identifying some of the priorities that were confounding our relationships early on, and I think this is a great forum for us to work through that. I am completely available to you individually and collectively as needed, but even in your budgeting stages, to work with you to make sure that if you have capital projects and you have things that are kind of in the fire and you get a bunch of budget authority, we're going to be ready to work with you and get those projects scheduled well. I'll be happy to take any questions. I don't want to take too much of your time today, but I did want to introduce our services to you and let you know that I'm as committed as you are to seeing we get things right, especially in our relationship.
Any questions?
So knowing this was one of the drivers for the formation
right.
Crew, any particular follow-up folks?
So how has the transition of this to electronic been communicated to the dual school district so far? Is this the first we've heard of it?
So that, if that's the first you've heard of it, that's not. Then I can't answer that question. Other than today. This is, we've gone to our website a number of times and published kind of a progress report. We have made a couple of, we have an upcoming progress report at council in late November, but we'll be happy to update all of you and make sure you can include that in your communications with your designers and professionals.
My facility director may very well already be aware of this.
Okay.
Planning on it. That's the main thing. Some of us are large enough that we have people that really need to know the details. Of
you bet.
So do we know, Mitch, if we have an email list or a list of facilities directors of the school districts that when we're making changes?
I don't. I haven't seen one. I'd love to get my hands on one if one's available.
That seems like it just from a general informational, regularly what's happening with our community development and your facilities, that might be an opportunity to.
I guess one thing I'll say is that following the initial discussion about coordination and creation of a schools team, there has been and there is a very active schools team that meets with representatives from development, from engineering, from building, and we are doing great work. Both Vancouver and Evergreen have projects in the works right now, so there's been a lot of collaboration and help and support, which is making it easier to get information to the right folks. I'm vaguely familiar of changes to the electronic permit system and recently asked to be added as another contact, because what happens a lot of times is those emails and the electronic information goes to the district consultants and it doesn't always make it to Sue or Todd or sometimes even me. So, but staff has been great in working with us to help improve communication and getting information out.
That's great to hear. I know that in my tenure here, I've only had two occasions where there's really been any kind of glitches in the system, and only occurred as a result of a miscommunication. So it's pretty easy to resolve. Thank you.
So we have our first outcome of the meeting. Make sure you have a good list. Yes. Contact the school district.
Mitch, I guess I could ask you down in your office, but I think the three main problems that I've ever had with schools is the connection. It's your department in public works, and you have your project of your development here, and you have your road somewhere here. The project sometimes stops at the line, you know, of the school, and so they're trying to marry something with a road, and so they go to that, then the road standard is totally different than it is. So And we were talking about this 6 months ago, how we can make sure we extend that project so the directors know your road that goes by your school, is it this grade or whatever? So you have to marry that up so we don't wait till something's poured.
Right. To address that, what we're looking is the timing of sharing of information. And if we're waiting until after a permit's issued and then that glitch comes up or arises, it slows things down and it can stop work. Avoiding that, we have a robust pre-application process where we identify absolutely everything, inclusive of transportation requirements for a project, to ensure that you have a complete picture of exactly what's needed to successfully complete your project from our perspective. That's inclusive of transportation. So we're organizing how we provide you information with the intent of being highly successful and giving you the best probability of successful reviews on the first pass, successful inspections on the first visit. Those are all objectives in the system that we're developing for this. There is some reorganization that's going to occur as a result of reorganizing the permitting process, just to ensure we have the proper adjacencies with the technical and evaluative skills that we need in our application reviews. It's a kind of a big ship to turn, but it's one that can be turned with enough collaboration. We just need everybody at an oar, and we're working at getting there.
Probably Marnie would know, but first or second meeting this last go around, we had a big conversations about the discrepancy of portables. Did that get figured out?
No, but I don't think the issue's come up again. So I think the issue was the city was allowing portables to be placed without requiring a permanent foundation, and the county required a permanent foundation. But to my knowledge, there haven't been any districts that have come into the county that have needed to place or move a portable that have had that denied because there's not a permanent foundation. So it might still be out there, but the issue hasn't come up. I think we have the right players in place on the county schools team to work through that issue with your leadership. So unless other districts are aware of an application that's come in where we've had a challenge.
I just wanted to say, and we'll get into this a little bit later, about what the group has accomplished over the past year-ish, that we did have a subcommittee meeting, and there were people from permitting and building and engineering, and talked about the issues as far as permits. And as you mentioned, Marnie, there is an internal group to address those types of issues.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Yeah. So with that, what we thought we'd do is just walk through the meetings you've had. You have had four previous meetings as a full group, as well as the subcommittee meeting that Lori just referred to. And we'll walk through those as a reminder of what you all did. And then just hit the highlights of the outcomes from those meetings. And just check in and see if there is anything that you feel needs to be highlighted as an outcome that we did not get to. And some folks, Monica's new, she didn't go through those, so she gets to, so this is your chance to find out everything they didn't hear when you weren't here, Monica. Perfect. So with that, you held your first meeting in June of 2017, and the purpose of that meeting was really to identify the issues to discuss. And the outcome of that was that there were four primary areas. And I believe in your handout you have this list, which was the outcome of that meeting. So the four primary areas were the permitting process, youth coping skills and supporting student success, and countywide emergency planning and preparation, and the talent pipeline. To align with future employment demand. So those are, I mentioned we had four meetings. Those are basically the four meetings that were held, with some of the subjects sort of bleeding from one to the next. So with that, you met again, and I guess what I should do is pause and remind you what the stated purpose was when you were formed, although I don't think I have the exact words, so Lori, maybe I need to refer to you, if I may.
So the purpose of the group was really, it's supposed to be a high-level discussion. The group includes K through 12, early childhood learning, and higher education, and the idea really was to talk about preparing students for getting the skills they need for success in Clark County, hopefully to work in Clark County someday. So it was a connection between schools, higher education, early learning, and groups such as Columbia River Economic Development. And it was really more about student success and local economic opportunities.
And were they, am I remembering correctly that they were also charged with identifying specific opportunities, connections between the work of the county and how the county can support that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So with that background, just making sure we're all on the same page about why you were convened. So with that, the group then met in August of 2017 to not the full group, but there was a subcommittee. The subcommittee that met. The outcome of that subcommittee work was that the process was basically put in place, that there was a designated project manager and staff specifically to focus on school permitting to address the issues. And Marnie, if there were specific outcomes of that ought to be identified other than that, let us know. But that's what we've sort of carried forward so far. The full group met in August, and that
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Who here was on the subcommittee for permitting? Marnie, were you on that group?
I participated. Todd Hornstein participated. Sue participated. I think Joe came from Washougal. I think maybe Kevin from Battleground, Nathan McCann from Ridgefield, and then We had Marty and Susan and Mark Hess and Jim Muir and Ollie and Heath, so a bigger group from the county as well.
And that group is still meeting? Or did that evolve into another group? Sorry.
That group evolved into setting up an ongoing schools team that reviews projects as they come in. Both projects that are being reviewed and subject to permitting, but also, for example, Hawkinson, Sandra, and I had a chance to meet with a group of schools folks to talk about school sites and potential issues. Kind of depends on the issue and stage in the process, but they all convene to review projects.
Okay. This is the group that met. Thank Lori.
So it was Marty, John Dunaway, who's our fire marshal. It was Susan Ellinger, who's manager in community development. Marnie, Jennifer Halleck, Vancouver School District. Jim Muir, Dan
and
Young.
I think we can, yeah. Yeah. We can see. Yeah. So it looks like all the school districts almost were involved, as well as health and number of other related public works, development, engineering. So other questions about that meeting before we move on? Okay. So Louisa's back at that. So then the full group met in August and talked about the youth coping skills and supporting student success. So Council for the Homeless, the Public Health Director, Marty Snell also was there for community development, and the Director of Community Services, Vanessa Gaston, were all there. The outcome of that meeting was basically that it, as I understand it, that was before I joined you guys. As I understand it, that meeting really focused on deliberation and identifying issues. The outcome was that the group agreed the school staff need better to communicate better regarding available services, that there was a recognition, and I think we saw that at the following meeting as well, that there was recognition that there was a broad range of services and making sure that everybody understood what those services were that were available.
Can I ask a question?
No, I'm really happy to be one continuous voice here.
So just on the last item here, it said the group agreed that schools and staff, school staff and community need to communicate better regarding, is that something that we are going to participate in, or is that something that the schools agreed to do to better, I guess I'm wondering if there's an actual action item there with regard to how we do that.
As I understand it, it was something that the schools, that there was a recognition that the school staff needed to be able to communicate with their constituents better about those available services. Is that right, folks who were here? But I also, my impression was that it was pretty much a dialogue, exploration of what was there. It was hard and fast outcome. So somebody else has to have an opinion here.
Annette, I have probably a question for everybody, and it came up today. We had a meeting today. The county is going out with grants for the 1% mental health and drug and alcohol tax. And so it's going out for, you know, who wants it. Lifeline, Columbia River Mental Health, person out in Portland, group out in Portland, I can't remember who else. There's a lot of them now that are tagging kids because, you know, to be recognized, you always have to say mental health and kids now in every, you know, conversation you have. I don't know why, but that's the thing you got to do. So the question is all of the, or a lot of these saying schools really wants us, you know. And we heard it from, I think, almost everyone. So I've asked them, are you just writing that down on paper? Or, because what you don't want is, you don't want to have five different agencies that got money from the county saying, oh, we're here to help you. We're going in your building tomorrow, you know. So is there any conversation
We already have six agencies that are in our schools on a daily basis providing mental health services to our kids. So we take anybody and almost anybody and everybody who's willing to offer that support.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. I'm glad. Okay.
Well, and along that vein, in terms of mental health, and the next, that, there was that discussion, that meeting, that was carried over into the next meeting, meeting with you all. And we talked further about the mental health issue, had reports on mental and community health. And then we talked with CRESA, Columbia River Emergency Services, had a good discussion with them about what the protocols were for incident management and communication between the school districts, and found that there had been some training and some communication. There was a desire among the group, and I think the pointed outcome of that meeting was that the council agreed to continue conversation with CRESA surrounding the development of best practices to use during incidents. That having been said, I know that Lori followed up several times and did not necessarily get further follow-up from CRESA. So has anybody at the table, do you know if there is, if that's happened through the superintendent's meeting or through any of the other forums you guys have?
Well, we had Scott was the keynote speaker for our regional safety conference, which is why we had the conflict back in August with So he kicked it off and had a couple of breakout sessions, and I know Shane Gardner's been working with him to try to involve them in some of the drills that we're holding in our schools.
So that is moving forward. It's just Sanders.
And maybe that's because of the relationship between Shane and Scott, but we've been developing a pretty good relationship with CRESA.
On Hawkinson, we are working with our fire district and our county sheriff's office and the school system to create a way so that there is an emergency countywide, and obviously the emergency people can't come to us. How do we take care of that? So not necessarily with them, but with the...
So the issue, you guys are continuing on the issue, but not necessarily. I seem to remember that one of the key aspects of the conversation was a desire to make sure that it was, that there was consistency among the districts about how something would be handled, so that, and among the schools, so that if there was an incident, there wasn't stumbling in terms of expectations and communications at that point in time. So it seems like that's an issue. Maybe, given what you said, you guys are kind of moving there forward, but I'm not seeing anybody.
Well, but we communicate. So our office is communicating with CRESA. So, I mean, they can't.
Okay.
I mean, we're a little tiny district, right? So
sure.
So, I mean, they go to Evergreen. They have multiple schools. They come to us, you know, it's this low. But I think that we do have the consistency of the language and the process.
Okay.
That we're not, you know, Scott can't be everywhere. So we are working with our sheriff's office as well as our District 3.
So you feel like the protocols are, you're getting...
I believe so, yes.
How about the other school districts?
I think for us, it's a matter of communicating within our district with two different entities, because we deal with City of Battleground and Clark County. So we're working, and Scott has helped us with that, having a consistent communication. So if we had an emergency within our district now, I know we had talked a little bit about, you know, a countywide response if there was something. So I'm not sure if that we were furthering conversations on that, but as far as Battleground, we're working on communications if something were to happen within our district.
Okay.
And we're in an odd situation, bridging two counties.
With yeah.
Three fire districts. Three
oh.
City, county, and just working with all those entities.
Okay. So you become the point of communication among.
Yeah, insofar as, you know, our fire is dispatched through CRESA, and police are dispatched out of Cowlitz County, and we've got some in Clark County.
I think for Green Mountain, I'd say, you know, kind of we I feel often that we're just out there on our own. There's usually one deputy for all of North County.
Okay.
And so we're figuring we're hanging out for probably 15 to 20 minutes before the cavalry arrives. And so the one thing that that I would hope that we had gotten out of this was some sort of countywide protocol about if we have to evacuate any one of our schools, where would we go?
Right, yeah.
And I know I was disappointed that Cressa couldn't answer that. Now, Cowlitz, I don't know what Woodland is doing, but you know, Cowlitz recently had to evacuate a school, and they've got a countywide plan that they go to the expo center, and it worked flawlessly because staff from another from other schools go to that expo center, so they have plenty of people to handle the crisis. That's where I was hoping that we would get, and I don't think I'm not satisfied where we are yet.
Okay. So we do still have work to do in terms of meeting the outcome.
Mark, if I can, I think the North End schools, you know, Yakult would be in the same boat. You got one deputy, and maybe a game agent, maybe a state trooper.
Okay, so that one is still sitting out there.
Make a comment on that one from the neighborhood perspective.
Yeah, there isn't. See, you talked about in that meeting you were talking.
Yeah, there isn't really anything in place as far as neighborhood communication. If there is an emergency that happens with schools, how do neighborhood associations support that? What it is, can we do at the citizen level to make sure that we don't have parents just rushing up to the school driving in case of an emergency? We know that that happens a lot with individual lockdowns, and if there should be a county-wide emergency. I know that there have been some schools that have done drills where they were bused to, say, the fairgrounds for that evacuation purpose. But as far as involving neighborhoods, there is no plan to get neighborhoods into that. So whether it's assisting with communications or if it's actually getting neighborhood leaders through some type of training to be able to jump into action, maybe such as CERT with CRESA.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the points of discussion that day.
There is a huge opportunity to make sure that we can have some type of process or plan. Right now it's not necessarily policy. Each school district has an individual policy, although they do somewhat align. But there is no countywide policy either for how neighborhoods respond in case of any emergencies.
Okay. I think coming up next year, I heard through CTRAN, this is the state's going to have a kind of coordinated emergency plan, what to do with transit. You guys are in it. Essentially, what happens if there's a full emergency? You can't run your buses with no fuel. So the county kind of has that jurisdiction of if we have to designate where the fuel goes, you need to be in that conversation if you need fuel. So I think you'll be getting that stuff.
All right. So one of the things when we get later, when after this, when we start talking about what you might want to continue discussing, if you want to continue meeting, I want you to think about what is the best venue for having the discussions to move it forward, and whether it's this or one of the other formats in which the districts and the education community is brought together. So the next meeting after that was in February, and that was our fourth and the previous meeting to this one, and that one really focused on the talent pipeline. So at that meeting, that was a fascinating meeting. We had CREDC Mike Bomar, who I understand has now gone to court. And Brittany, and we had Natalie with SCH. What was Natalie's last name?
Scholl with SCH America. Mm-hmm.
And she talked about their good program they've got. And then the program on STEM. And those presentations and the discussion around that. The outcome was that the group learned about STEM opportunities, and I think, as I remember it, there was an interest in just reinforcing the message that there are multiple paths for high schoolers and just really trying to make sure that you have
multiple paths to ensure success of the various students that, given their strengths and desires. So any comments, thoughts on that one? Follow up on that. I don't think there was a specific, this is something we need to do further on that, but that, and as well as the others, also identified other ways that you as an education community are working together. So with that, those were the four meetings. The next slide is basically the outcomes that had been identified. You know, you identified your top issues. You got the process in place for the schools and the county to be working better on permitting. Group agreed that school staff need to communicate better regarding available community services. The interest in getting that consistent process with CRESA. And then learned about STEM. So those were the primary outcomes. And is there anything that should be on this list that is not?
I want to add really quickly that those were the topics that were identified, as Jean mentioned, in June of 2017. And we went through all of those topics. And actually what we were going to do, and we're kind of getting to that, is to what we present to the council and what we do next.
Yeah.
But we have addressed all the issues that the group initially identified.
So, anything more to add before we move on in terms of what you would want to report to council as what you have done over the last year? Okay. So, then the question I want to put out there that where I want to go with the conversation is to really ask you guys about how you want to move forward. Talk about potential issues you might want to consider for discussion. Look at those issues and say, okay, what are the other options you have in terms of addressing those? Is this the best one? And then decide, based on that, what you might want to do as a group in terms of moving forward. But to report to the council on what you have done, then the question is, how would you like to do that? I think the original idea had been a joint meeting with council. We weren't really sure that was what was required. It can be that you designate one of this group to come to the council meeting and present with your counselors that have been at the table with you. What are your thoughts? How would you like to do this? John, you've got an opinion. Marty, you've got an opinion. I'm looking at two people I know have opinions.
Everybody's afraid to talk because they think they're going to get nominated.
You're going to get nominated anyway. Hey, you guys, and
John.
I want you to know your counselors have offered that they can just take the report for you. So nobody has to do it, but there is an opportunity here. So.
I guess I'll throw in my opinion, which kind of ties to the next step of I think there's value in maintaining some sort of a format for open dialogue between the districts and the county council on an ongoing basis. And I don't know whether we need to meet this regularly as we look at how we've exhausted the list of agenda items. But I know that in my mind there's things that either are going to come up, like legislative positions and issues or things that may come up that we would want to know about from the council side, or we would want to share with the council from the K-12 perspective of a heads up and let's have a quick discussion on is how are we going to move forward and can we at least move forward in agreement. To me, philosophically, I think that's where I kind of see this going rather than being an agenda-driven, having five or six meetings a year and trying to knock off work items. I think most of the work, now that we've reestablished relationships, the work's happening within the organizations, and we've got most of the right people connected.
Let me follow up on that. So, John, if it really was issue-based, it was like you want to have a way to have a conversation if there's a need. Is that right? So play out for me how you would – what is a way to make that work that you can think of?
I'm almost thinking
– not challenging.
I'm almost thinking we pare this down to we have two regular meetings during the year and one prior to the legislative session where we look at what's the K-12 legislative position, what's the council going to be pushing for legislatively. Because the biggest impacts that happened to me are what happened out of Olympia. And the more that we as a county can work together on those issues, the more I can hopefully mitigate the impacts to the district and be able to continue to offer quality programs through those changes that happen. And I think that's a major dialogue point, and whether that happens in, you know, November timeframe as we're putting our legislative positions together. But I think it's just the ability to have that built into where we can have this discussion and dialogue, and whether it's with representatives of council rather than the whole council, so you don't have to do the whole full-blown thing.
Yeah.
So, Marnie, I'm going to come to you in a second.
Yeah.
So, John, interesting that you brought this up, because I don't think in looking through this that there was a meeting that talked about, like, but I do remember back when we did mm-hmm. the Quality Schools Task Force, mm-hmm. that it was formed with one intent, but that became one of the key outcomes mm-hmm. of that unified message to the legislature. So I'm going to set aside the report to the council, because I think it's hard to do that without talking about what your path is. Feeling. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and I think, I mean, going back to when we first started, the legislature just did all this stuff. We were trying to figure out, now that almost the teachers got money, classroom sizes went down, between the county and the school districts, we were trying to figure out how to build them classrooms, right? Plus, school impact fees were going high. Nobody wanted to pay for property taxes for a levy. So that's how. So we became a group to know how school construction was funded. Spent a whole year at it. Now, the legislature just met school funding. We're coming up on no ground for schools, a comp plan ready to come out. Plus, we have, I know of, 1, 2, 3 school districts that are affected by people trying to rezone land. So you're caught in the middle of coming to a hearing and making somebody mad because you need a classroom. And so, am I right? I mean, them subjects are right on.
But I think there's more than that, because, and it may be, as we look into the future, maybe sometimes school district dependent as well, dependent the size. I mean, I am my facilities person. I am the person who does the permit. I mean, you know, in some ways, there's a difference between a John's Teach or a Sandra Yeager when you have an 1,800 kid district. And I honestly think that when I look at the development of Clark County that affects our district, you know, I have 900 homes that if you conservatively decide that there's one kid per home, it's 50% growth in my school district. And if I don't pay attention, I don't even get called. And to be quite frank, sometimes, you know, I get the SEPA notices for the entire county, and I don't have time, as I'm running my district and doing all the things, to decide, do I need to attend this meeting? Do I need to attend this meeting? So how do we communicate, really create a growth that really makes sense for the big systems, for the little districts? You know, rezoning that in a little district that is another 300 houses, potentially, I mean, high-intensity housing or not. it's really, and you know, and I come to a county to tell people that the county told me that I don't have any more sewage capacity in my elementary school, but the county could potentially accept that. I mean, I still think that, and maybe again, maybe this is not a meeting that we need to have together, but how do we work together as our public servants and really create plans and systems where we are collaborating and working together for what's right for our community? I still think we have a lot of work to do.
So, Sandra, what you're talking about really has to do with county planning mm-hmm. and how that affects the schools. Mm-hmm. You're not just talking about comp planning, you're talking specifically about zoning.
Zoning, school sites, knowledge. I mean, my current 900 homes that have been already permitted and allowed, and I heard it was former superintendent of Evergreen, John Dieter, that at a SUPS meeting says, you know that you have about 400 homes coming up in your district, right? No. And this is a few years ago, but that is how I heard about it. And 300 homes, potentially, again, one kid per home, that is, 30% growth for my district. It's not small for a little district to try to absorb, a situation like that. I mean, it's difficult. I can buy portables, but now my sewer capacity is at max.
So the staff, we've been working with Marnie as far as noticing and how to develop.
Thank you, Marnie. Because I did come, right? I mean, and that's why.
I understand if there's a rezone, and we are working with Marnie on a process as far as noticing, especially when you're talking about increasing residential.
Yes.
Just so you know, we just met last week to try to remedy some of the challenges you've brought up.
Exactly, and this is why. I mean, it's because we actually came together to a couple of those meetings. But for me is that, can we work together ahead of, really looking at planning and really trying to find some of those solutions, again, school sites and, whatever it is. I mean, and I know that Mark Ball lives in our district, and we've talked for years about different options, and that's always been great. But really, how do we work together so we don't find ourselves in those surprising moments that we do find ourselves?
I'd also add that when we do our comp plan updates, that we do work with the school districts on capital facilities plans so that there are adequate facilities as far as schools, sewer, transportation, water.
I think also what I'm hearing is let's say it's already zoned a residential and it's out in your school district, you don't know if there's a 300 planned unit subdivision coming in until somebody says, hey, did you know, rather than maybe, again, a proactive communication from us to say, just so you know, we just signed off on this plat, or this is coming in. So it may not stop it, but at least.
And honestly, even just for communication, on the last time that we came, the developer, which is certainly has nothing to do with the county, the developer in Section 7 specifically stated that the public services facilities were adequate. And in fact, if I wasn't here to say, you know what, we don't have any sewer capacity because you told me, who would have known, right? I mean, hopefully you would have thought of it. But in their plan, they were saying, so if we are not asked to come, and again, maybe John has a person that is looking at all of those SIPA projects. But, I mean, in my little district, it is really hard for us to, I don't want to miss it. And then I have 400 kids that I can't adequately serve.
So Sandra, on this one, this is a really good example of talking about what some of the needs are. Mm-hmm. So what you just talked about is, this opportunity for coordination, but it's, being involved in the comp planning. And Lori pointed out that you are engaged. What might be the reasons to continue and how to continue? Because what we need to do is look at this and say, what's the best forum for that? Is this the best forum to address your needs for that, or is it some other way?
I do, yeah. So what I'm hearing here is that there's an opportunity for a kind of a liaison service between us and the school districts, where because we're getting land use applications that can precede development by 2 years, sometimes 3 years, there's an opportunity for us to reach out to the affected school district saying, hey, we're looking at land use applications that could impact you, your population, your school population. Conversely, it could result in, you know, an opportunity for you to look at your capital budgets and say, hey, let's get ahead of this with our development.
Right.
So I totally understand that. I think that could be done with a liaison versus a group setting like this.
And that's exactly, I mean, and that, for me, is just having had this, and this is my only concern if we don't meet like this, because having had this, sometimes it just gives you the relationship. I mean, I feel totally comfortable now making that phone call. I mean, and probably 2 years ago, I didn't meet anyone, right? I mean, I had met Marty because I was building a school, and Marty met Marty a lot. But it really, this opened up those doors and those communications where you feel that comfort that, wow, I can call Lori and say, oh, my gosh, this is happening, or, you know, or how can you help, or what should I do? Because, honestly, we don't know. I mean, I'm an educator.
I think
a developer.
On development, that's a good point. But, you know, you kind of throw away this comp plan. I mean, if Alt 4 would have went, Battleground would have been broke, you know. But it didn't go. But you go back to our last plan, and when we expanded the growth boundaries a lot of places, this is my fault, I know, but you had to do a capital facilities plan. So on one hand, the county is obligated to do a 20-year growth plan. That's what we have to do. On the other hand, you have to pay for it. So Marty knows when you get to them last meetings, you're trying to say, well, to pay for it, the voters will pass this. And that's how we pay for it. Then it goes through. I think there has to be a better way. But what that is, and I think a discussion like that is here.
Right. So because when you talk about the school districts have prepared capital facility plans, they've told you how many schools they need to build to serve the forecast growth, but all of those plans identify that the number one funding source to pay for those schools is an impact fees, even though they generate important revenue and they seem too high to developers. The number one funding source is a bond that has to be approved. And the hard issue is the policy discussion about what do you do if you're in Hawkinson and there's 900 houses and we're collecting impact fees, but we don't have bond proceeds and we can't build a school and we can't spend $1 million to put in sewer. What are we going to do? So it's both notice, but problem solving.
Because a bond, it takes 5 years before, I mean, best case scenario for us, even if I prepare a bond and pass and build a school, it's 5 years. But if you allow those, you know, 900 homes, they're there in 2 years. What do I do the other three? Best case scenario.
So,
but then I don't get a permit, and I can't put it in the ground.
Or might make sense, things you would like to see addressed. And I'm, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a round table so you all have to say something. Marty's nodding. So Connie came in last, so I think we should pick on Connie.
Oh, hi, Connie.
Actually, I'm kidding. I am going to start over with Sharon, however, who has been quiet.
We're really different, right?
Yes.
And Clark isn't here today, but Clark is really different than we are. And I think our particular interest in this group is to continue to hear from K-12 folks the kinds of programs that you think your students are interested in, the ways in which Clark and WSUV coordinate together to get a pipeline of transfer, to get AA degrees to BAs to beyond. I mean, that's what we're here, I think, to be part of, and to be particularly attuned to the kinds of graduation outcomes that we can support in your schools and districts.
And for the neighborhood perspective, it would be just building and improving the relationships and the communications between what happens in the schools and neighborhoods and how we can support what's happening out there and what we can do for you.
Lori, you're looking at me.
Oh, do you need some help?
Oh, okay. I'm going to put this over here.
Yeah.
So the last one was basically just communication, neighborhoods, communication with the schools, communication between schools and neighborhoods.
Yeah, and if there's something happening county level, we get some of the SEPA notices as well, but that's not necessarily something that we as volunteers in the neighborhoods would reach out to the school to see if you already knew about it. So I think there's some opportunity to improve communications three ways.
So, and Christy, do you take what you hear back to, I forget what the coalition is there back to the coalition?
Yeah, so we have NAC Association Council of Clark County. Our neighborhood leaders meet once a month. Okay. We do take information back to those leaders to distribute amongst their communities, their individual neighborhoods, serve within the county. But then we also have neighborhood leaders that will communicate with their schools individually. And okay. Some neighborhoods reach multiple schools. So.
Okay, great. So, Marion. You're going to pass. Are we going to allow her to pass?
Yes, we are. I suppose we'll let her to pass. So I think this is, for me, this has been a great, very valuable experience just to hear what's going on and to learn about services in the county and to, like Sandra said, you know, kind of make connections. I also think as the one micro district in, that's a new term we've come up with now, micro districts in the county, this has been valuable for us because I know statewide the micro districts think we get forgotten and that how different things are for us. So like Sandra, who I wouldn't think it's a micro district, I'm thinking those that are 200 and less. That I think oftentimes our governments, both county and state level, forget how difficult it is for the smallest districts to comply with the same regulations that apply to larger districts. And I know, the micro districts are even thinking about a statewide coalition to try and address those issues. So I would like to see this continue in some fashion so that our counselors continue to get that perspective of, you know, those districts that oftentimes get overshadowed by the big districts who do fantastic work. But we're just so small, you know. Hey, if something doesn't hit the Columbian, people forget we're even there.
We're doing fantastic work, too, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, trust me right now.
So, Michael.
I think the value for me has really been, insofar as I bridge two counties with very different issues, particularly around building and planning, where the city of Woodland is a GMA city, but the rest of the county isn't. Impact fees are variable. It's been valuable for me in terms of keeping connected with Clark County, even though it makes 10% of our school district still a real key area because of the differences in the counties.
Okay. So 10% of your school district? How big is your school?
We're about 25.6.
Okay.
I'm going to pass. I think already.
You yeah.
No. She took.
All right. I can talk. You might feel sorry about that.
Sorry, she's got some up there. She did the whole coordination with
Thank you.
County planning. So.
I've been
come up with another one, but the legislative is
that's the driver for you. Okay, Mark.
Well, several of us are already actually on the CRDC Education Committee, so we spend a lot of time talking about talent pipeline, internships, apprenticeships, so very much appreciate that. So what I guess what I would see from this group, Sandra kind of already alluded to it, but more about county policies around development, urban growth planning, transportation. Obviously, the Shawchi Prairie is on my mind, and
so
what's going to happen with that?
The last one. So it was the growth policy and
transportation.
Transportation, you bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The railroad.
And when you're talking
railroad.
Transportation, you're not talking school transportation.
No, we're talking about transportation corridors. So we were involved in that discussion with what was the last meeting we went to on Transportation Alliance Committee. But what the county does with different modes of transportation corridors obviously affects schools, affects our growth, affects our potential to attract industry into our area, which affects our growth,
gotcha.
Affects affordable housing.
Is 179th Urban Holding split between you, Richfield, and Vancouver?
Yes. Not Vancouver,
isn't it? Just you and Richfield?
Yeah, 179th, 50th. Yeah, so 600 homes? Phase one, 600.
Phase one, yeah.
50th is the boundary.
Oh,
okay.
Just to add, just from a staff perspective, just information. So urban holding's a little different than a rezone because urban holding, we've already included it in the urban growth boundary. We're just lifting, we put urban holding because of lack of facilities, transportation, water, sewer.
Tools.
Well,
yeah, that's a big item, though.
Build the houses, they will come.
Monty. I agree with everything that's been said. Those are the biggest concerns.
Okay, just one big ditto.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry I came in late. I'm Nancy Trevino. I'm with EOCF. And so
you're with which?
EOCF. Okay. So Head Start, ECAP, early learning programs. And I think for me, being the first time in this meeting, it's just great to hear what's going on between the districts and the county in planning. The other thing is we move towards universal preschool for children. In the planning process, there's additional needs that are required for licensing. And, of course, the state is requiring licensing for the classrooms that the early learning is served in now. So there's some additional things that we've encountered this year as we've gone through that process. So I think it's great to be at the table with the rest of you.
So it's basically learning about the issues affecting all depths of use, but more specifically it's
how early learning fits into that and some of the special needs that come along with that. And the other piece that is fundamental to the work we do is the parent engagement piece, which I think when we can encourage that from the onset, it bodes, children do much better throughout their school years. Their success rate goes up when parents are involved, and so that's very fundamental to the early learning programs that we offer.
Okay. I don't think I've done this really well, but I think I got it.
Glad to be here. Put that on there. Thanks.
Along with that, I love the idea of starting and having discussions instead of talking about preschools and public schools and higher learning, to have that continuum and to have everyone at the table talking about our youngest children all the way through the adults.
So new to the table here, but I think from a CRDC perspective, Mark already mentioned we do have an education committee, so this group looks at issues that go a little bit broader than what we're looking at within our economic development strategic plan. We'll be heading into year two of execution, so we can use this group to provide an update on where we're focusing and the progress that we've been making with that group. But then I think just looking at the issues that are listed here, we can also have a view of what other issues are important and ensuring that our strategic plan continues to evolve and adapt to as needed with what is coming top of mind. I would echo John's comments about the legislative priorities. I think broader than our education committee, we can also ensure that CRDC has a view of what is important for the council and also what we have adopted in terms of what priorities we will highlight.
Now, Connie, did we give you an update?
Ditto. I mean, it seems like what we're hearing is we want to talk about the gaps and the overlaps in communication. And I guess one thing I'm still struggling with, you guys, is really understanding what you see as the gaps. If we can.
Well, like we're talking about countywide plan for if it, something happens in one district, do we have a countywide plan for how we're going to do this, or is it a countywide emergency? I mean, every district has their own plans, every school has plans, but from one district to another, you may or may not know what those plans are. So when we can cross-pollinate, and also obviously legislative, because as much as everybody says the funding's not done, we have not funded education. And so whatever we can do as a community, it sounds like there's some different committees that some of this work could go to. The Quality Schools Coalition, I know we haven't met in a while, but we did a lot of the legislative work with all the districts in the county. But we haven't had like the pre-K to higher ed. I don't know if there's a one venue that happens, and if not, then this is. To the counselors too, but do you guys want to put yours in first, or I think what I also want to do is get folks is talk about what the other four. Let's get you guys first. So.
So, I think first and foremost, it's really what you guys want. We wanted to make sure that we were in connection with what's happening in our school districts countywide. And it sounds like we've got a good start there based on what I'm hearing from this group. So that's good. And the ability to keep the dialogue going. We met last week, and I think that was the one thing. I'm like, I think we just need to make sure we keep this dialogue going, whether it's this structured and this often, we can decide that, or you can decide that as a group. But I want to get back to the emergency planning piece, because you all each have your own protocols with regard to emergencies. Have you met together to talk about, I mean, like, especially the two biggest districts in the county, I mean, Evergreen and Vancouver, do you guys? No. So and the neighborhoods as well. So that, to me, from a county government perspective, just sort of jumped off the page at me in terms of something substantive that we could do with representatives of this group. So that for me, that just kind of, I'm thinking, I know we have some plans. I know we have our safety folks. And but from a countywide perspective, I don't know. So for me, that rang out for me. So.
And I think, we've talked about, the development, but I think as that comes on, we grow a lot. Even the portable discussion is kind of done, but we really want to firm that up, because you don't want to wait till you're moving a portable in and Mitch has to say, hey, you can't put kids in that portable, so it's got to and them days are coming fast. And the other, like Julie said, is emergency management. But the other thing is, like John said, I think we have a new, the county has a new lobbyist now, and we're going to meet, I don't know if you're meeting with him tomorrow. He comes from Association of Washington Counties, so he is really our lobbyist, you know. And so he'll meet with us indirectly tomorrow, but then we're going to have a meeting with all the legislators coming up, and then we have the meeting in December. So I think, like you said, John, one of the things, we need to have the same message because, they love it when you have two messages. So make sure that we have one and see if we can survive till a long session.
And I only just want to add one more thing with regard to whether it's the portable issue or the permitting. Or this guy down here, Mitch Nichols, is a rock star, and I cannot say enough about him and the work that he's done since he took over the plant, the community development. I get calls all the time from folks, and I am so happy to be able to turn them over to Mitch. So the only point I say is that if you have a question or there's an issue with anything in terms of building or permitting, just contact him, and you will be in great hands. So we're like this.
So, so one of the things we have learned through this process is we have learned about a number of other groups that exist. So, CREDC's group that works on the talent pipeline and to jobs is one. There's the monthly meeting of all superintendents. There is the permitting task force, right? Is it a task force? Is that what it is that was set up?
Can we call it the schools team?
The schools team.
Yep.
Okay, there's the schools team that works on permitting issues. There is, Molina Healthcare, Beacon Health Options, Community Catholic Services, and Council for the Homeless all provide resources for families in poverty or experiencing homelessness, but that's not a group per se, right?
No.
And so those are the primary existing groups. Are there any other groups, sort of coalitions that are focused on education that you guys participate in? Okay. So the primary ones talked about, want to just sort of go through and talk about what, sort of hopping back to Sandra's, which really prompted us going. For Sandra, if I got this right, it was really having the connections. That's one thing I didn't really write down here, but she sort of summed it up with just having the relationships. In terms of how the upper education can be coordinated and support the pathways that are being developed, do you ever meet with the superintendent in any other?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. So do you go to their monthly meeting?
Yes.
Is that? So
the team.
Thank you. So this is happening.
Yes.
It doesn't need this group necessarily.
No, it's nice to be part. But
sure.
It's
and we like having you here when we meet.
There isn't another place that this is happening. That can happen elsewhere. That's something that we're communication of the schools and the neighborhood associations, the neighborhoods overall. Is there another form in which that happens?
Unless individual neighborhoods are reaching out directly to a school specifically, this is the only format for that.
That's not elsewhere. So learning about county services and the opportunity for micro districts to really be engaged and learn, as well as making sure that the county and the rest of the system is aware of the special needs of the micro districts. Is there another forum that needs that? Not really. Okay.
Superintendent Smith.
All right. You guys can't really see this. So, bridging, that's a very particular one, Michael. It's really yours. And do you participate in the superintendent's monthly?
I do.
So you have that, but not at the county planning level. So I'm going to give you a red check just because okay, so CRDC, on that one, this was yours. I started looking at Monica. So you sit on the CRDC. That's another place that a lot of this happens.
Not so much, but county profile.
But not the. So this is what's distinct. And Lori?
I would say as far as county growth plans that we do coordinate with the school districts on your CFPs when we look at the urban growth boundary.
I don't know how often you guys pull out our zoning map because that's such an exciting. but, yeah, would it make sense at some point just to say this is what is in your school district in terms of commercial and residential, and here's what it looks like on the map today. I don't know, but
and would that be a school district by school district thing?
And whether they want to know that or not, I mean, it's certainly something we can walk through if they're interested, at least in what it might look like at some point in the future.
But Mark, I'm guessing what you're really looking for here is just being aware of what the overall planning processes are as they come on board, policy development, and where are the opportunities, if not here, where are the opportunities to build, to make sure you're aware of that. So CREDC does not get into that. Does the superintendent's meeting, does that?
But on that, I think there's, especially about the growth plan, I think there's, and it dovetails with the legislation. You know, GMA's been here 25 years, so they're going to start thinking. Ruckel House Committee has it now that they're really going to look at GMA. And so they're going to look at it probably from a pro-growth standpoint, for sure, and capital facilities has to be in it. Well, you know that there's going to be a lot of friends on the pro-growth. You know, that's pretty easy to know. They're all going to be there. Someday and very soon we're going to have the Ruckel House Committee down here. But I think, I started this game in 94, and the first thing was, how do we figure the capital facilities school funding formula out? And nobody's figured it out yet. So I think that'll be a part of that. So I think that'll be a they kind of come together there.
A ditto from Monty, then, and he was nodding. That counts for both of you.
So I just have a quick question just for clarification. So next year we're going to have some dockets for the capital facilities plans for several school districts. Is that an opportunity for an update as far as the growth plan? I don't know if Battleground, I can't remember if Battleground's one of the school districts. I know that the purpose of that docket item is to update the capital facilities plan and look at the impact fees. Is that an opportunity to get an update as far as growth and zoning and development? Okay.
So we have individual, we serve children in all of the districts that are here at the table, in addition to a few others who aren't here. And so we actively participate with the principals in the elementary schools, as well as special ed departments. And I think we've actually been in contact with many of the superintendents recently. Other than that, we are not, our director does not participate in the superintendent meetings, although it might be important, I don't know, because we engage with all of them and are in the schools.
So that might be an opportunity.
Especially as we move towards universal preschools in all of your classroom or your buildings.
We do come up with the legislative priorities that CRADC supports, and then it bubbles up to our broader. It's all part of the STEM network and CRADC that later gets prioritized across the board from the Greater Chamber of Commerce, ICC, and CRADC. But I think what John, and correct me if I'm misspeaking. But what John was saying is talking to the council in terms of what their priorities or what they're pushing versus what the superintendents across the districts are pushing for. Did I say that right, John?
John had put one proposal on the table of meeting at least annually to talk about to coordinate on legislative issues, and with another meeting other key thing there was sort of more of a general desire to look at overall county planning and know what's happening, get some discussion and information on that, so some coordination. So if you had two meetings, if you did it in one meeting, that would be one thing. Any other thoughts about, do folks feel a need for more meetings than that? I really, you know, I am really happy to meet. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm really happy to meet with you guys, but I don't feel really good having a group come together if you don't have a clear purpose and you don't, we're not making good use of your time. So, so any other thoughts? Okay. All right. Then, John, were you going to say something?
So I think I was going to... I'll say something. So what I'm thinking right now after listening through this is that we've moved forward with one fall meeting that's based on legislative priorities and planning, and then a spring meeting where we come back and just once a year review what's happening with overall building construction and urban planning, that we can kind of hear what's happening from the school district perspective, and we can share what we're working on in our struggles.
Yeah. Are you guys good with that?
And I'm not sure that the emergency planning management isn't a little bit misplaced in this group with some of our membership, that you shouldn't think about a different task force to address
having
a very specific task force.
Task-based group to deal with that.
And before I leave that, I want to parrot what Sandra said, that we are educators. So when you come to us and say you need to do emergency planning, you need to go to the emergency managers and say, you need to go to the schools.
And that really comes down to, we need to have a meeting and say, this is the protocol we're going to use, and we're going to, and everybody's going to have
and
to
this
agree
is, this
to
is
abide
the county
by the
protocol.
And that's what we haven't done yet, is we all have our own little way to do it, and nobody wants to give up their way.
When we manage our crises on campus until they become the ones that we have to call the cavalry in for. And really, we need the county to take, my thought is we need the county to take the lead and say, when it comes to that point, this is what you can expect, this is what we're going to do.
So, a fall meeting on legislative issues and coordination of messages to the legislature, a spring meeting coordinating on growth and planning activities among the districts as well as with the county.
Mm-hmm.
The emergency service one is something that should be task-based, ideally initiated by emergency services. Boy, good job, you guys.
Yeah.
And from a legislative priorities point, I might recommend that fall meeting be in the early part of the fall, because mm-hmm. by the time we're in November and December, these guys already have their list.
Yeah.
So let's come back to the report and making that report. Would you would anyone like to volunteer to go and carry this report to the council? The counselors have said they are happy to do it for you.
Shouldn't have let him off so easy.
Yeah, if I'm available, I could. It depends when it is.
Okay. All right. Very good. So John has offered to cover it if he's available.
Thanks.
Mark has suggested that he's totally comfortable with having the counselors do it on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
If John's not available, is everyone comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm comfortable with John doing it.
I'm happy to be there to support them while they.
I
see. Okay. All right. So I'm wondering.
Marnie said that she could give a report too.
Marnie said she'd do it.
Yeah.
I'd
if John couldn't
be happy to come
there.
If you'd well, like me to come. Okay. You can't okay. come, John, but I'm fine not to be there.
So also this year, since we're not going to have this could be our fall meeting right now. I'm wondering if it would be okay if you all get to Marty your legislative priorities, so Marty, you can get to us this year. So by the time we hit session, we'll know what you're talking about at least this year.
I think the ESD superintendents already have our
platform. Okay, so we know that. That'd be good.
So we want to present this year. This
report?
This year.
Yeah, I think that is now in your hands to determine.
Yeah, because next year we're going to have at least one new counselor, so it's not going to be the same council that created the group, if we can maybe get it, try to squeeze
we'll
it in between
it this
now
year.
And the
end of the year. Huh? Sure. Council time?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What are they going to do?
Fire on Wednesdays.
All right. Would anybody be brokenhearted if we ended the meeting early?
So just to...
Hey, thank you.
No, wait. I'm not dismissed yet. I'm just checking to make sure we don't...
Okay, so in terms of what we're going to do, and I'll work with Mitch, is that we'll have our next meeting in the spring, and it will just be informational about what's going on with planning and with development. I know that in the spring, typically, and I think you all have approved it already, the annual reviews and dockets. So is it just going to be So just be informational about the comp plan, proposed comp plan amendments, and then I'll work with Mitch as far as what's going on with development.
I have a question, too, about Mitch's piece. So there was two questions in terms of communication from your department to schools, both with regard to development and then also generally about updates from permitting.
Yes.
Is that something you're going to take? And
absolutely. So we'll work on, during the interim, we'll develop the liaison and identify, we'll reach out to all of you and identify the important things that we need communication about from us and make sure we incorporate that.
I just have a question for the group in terms of timing. What's a good, could you tell me what's a good time or date, not a specific date, but good time in the spring for you all to meet? Is it late April? Is it early May? What's generally works as far as your schedules? Or should I just follow up with some proposed meeting dates?
Nice to doodle poll. That's what
yeah.
My
okay.
Probably late April.
Okay. I know our last, the first meeting that was skipped had been planned in advance for May, and mm-hmm. that one was difficult. So is May a difficult time? We need to get it in before we get to May? Yes. Okay.
So we'll have a doodle poll in.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so Mitch has a couple of takeaways circled up there. We've got clarity on what this group does. Do counselors, do either of you have any remaining questions for the group?
No.
Okay. It's been a pleasure, folks.
Did you answer for me?
Yep.
And you're closing.
And just leave your
thank you all.
And leave your tank cards, please. So we'll update our list. Thank you.